Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Tes. And we begin on the very top line with the words Tana Rabbanan at the end of the line. The Braisa starts off and tells us, Tana Rabbanan, Yirios HaTachtonos, the bottom curtain in the Mishkan. We mentioned yesterday that there were curtains in the Mishkan that overhung the open roof of the Mishkan. The bottom layer was called the Mishkan layer, and the top layer was called the Ohel layer. So this bottom layer, Tana Rabbanan Yirios HaTachtonos, the bottom layer called the Mishkan, it was made up of various different types of materials that were woven together. They were including Shel Tcheles. Tcheles is, of course, the blue dye that we have from the Chalazon. Shel Argomom, that's a purple type of a dye. Shel Tula Shani, that's like a red type of a dye. Veshel Shesh, and that's made of linen. So all of these different materials were woven together to make up the bottom curtain. The Elyonos, the top curtain known as the Ohel layer, so that was made up of Maiseizim. The Elyonos Shel Maiseizim was made up of goat's hair. Now, they tell us, the Gemara tells us, Gedola Chochmo Shenemro Belyonos, Yosmi Ma Shenemro Bistachtonos. The making of these curtains required a significant amount of skill, but the skill required, the knowledge required, the Chochmo required to make up the bottom layer was not as much as making up the top layer. In other words, the Mishkan was a tremendous amount of chachm needed to make the Mishkan layer, but the Ohel layer of Yirios, that was a even greater chachm. Gedola chachm shenemro be'elyonos, yosemi ma shenemro betachtonos. Why is that? Because the ilu betachtonos, in regards to making up the Mishkan layer, the 10 by 4 different panels, ten of them of the 4 amma panels, each of them was 28 ammas long. So each of those, it says about them, the women that made them, b'chol isha chachma slave, b'yodea tovu. A woman had to be chachma slave, a very smart woman, in order to be able to go and spin these with her hands. But the Elyonos, v'ilu b'Elyonos, which were again the 11 panels, each 4 ammas in their width, and then you had 11 times 4, that was 44, and then each of them was 30 amma long. So this upper layer, called the Ohel, so it says about them, the Pasuk says about the women who made these, the Ilu b'Elyonos, Siv, v'chol anoshim asher nosa libon, osana b'chochma tovu asizim. It adds the X words, v'nosa libon, Rashi says, yiseros, this implies, yiseros chochma mashma, requires additional chochma in order to make the upper Ohel Yirios. Gemara continues and says, "V'tani mishum Nechemir." It says the name of Nechemir in the Braisa, "Shotuf ba'izim." They actually washed the wool on the goats. The goat's hair was washed while it was on the goats. The tavu minoizim, and they actually spun it while it was on the goats, and then they cut it off, which is again requiring a tremendous amount of chachman skill in order to do this. The word shituf, right? We have hadocha and shituf. It means washing, rinsing out, and the tavu means the spinning. So it was actually done before they sheared it from the goat. Murray now quotes back on Mishnah and says, Shtei Gizustros Chule. Remember, it was a while ago we had in our Mishnah the different balconies, the porches that were on the same side of the streets. We said if you were motioned from one to the other, that was resembling the Mishkan where they would take the kroshim and pass them from one wagon to the other, and that's why that would be an Issa Daraisa. If a person were to transit from one of these gezustros, which is Rosh Hashayachid, through Rosh Hasharabim into the other gezustro, that would be the moshe, that would be the equivalent of the passing of the kroshim from one wagon to the other. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Mishum Rav Chiya, Rav said the name is Uncle Rav Chiya, Agolos, the wagons, now we had this previously, we said underneath the wagons, Tachteyen, directly underneath the wagons, that again, the wagons themselves were a dimension of 2.5 amma in their width, in between the two wagons. We said the two wagons were 5 ammas, and there was a 5 amma space in between the two wagons. So, Benehem, again, this was all covered by the krushim. This was the shear from yesterday. Vitzideim, and beyond the wagons, extending the krushim 2.5 ammas to the left of the wagons and 2.5 ammas to the right of the wagons, because the krushim, again, were 20 ammas. So you had 2.5, 5, 5, 5, and 2.5. Those are the different shiurim. The 2.5 is the space to the left of the wagon, then you have the 5 of that wagon, then you have the space in between the two wagons, another 5, then you have another 5 of the next wagon, and then you have the space to the right, the 2.5 amas, that's the 20 amas that the krushim were over. So underneath these krushim have the status of being a Rishus Sarabin. Again, we explained yesterday why it's not considered a covered Rishus Sarabin, because there were spaces. That was yesterday's shiur. Amr Abaye, Abaye adds, Bein Agolo Li Agolo, Kimlo Orech Agola. In between the Agolas, as I just told you, was the width of an Agola, the equivalent width of an Agola. Each Agola was 5, so in between the two Agolas was a space of 5. The Kama Orech Agola, how long were the Agolas? Chamesh Amos. They were 5 Amos long. Fine. Lomeli. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the width of these agolos 5? If you're going to tell me that we needed to have the three boards laid down on their longest side, so then each one was 1.5, we said the krashim, so then you need 3 of them, so 1.5, 1.5, 1.5, you really only need 4.5. So Gemara says, Lomeli, why do you need the agolos to be 5? The arba upal gusagi, it would have been enough if they're 4.5 amos wide. So the Gemara says, "Kihechi lo lidchaku krashim," because again we had the whole shiur discussion yesterday. So the krashim shouldn't be pushed up one against the other, and the rings, the tabos, would block, and therefore it would be a problem. So therefore it made it 5 in order to have plenty of extra room. Amar Rava continues and he says, "Tzidei agola kimelo rochav agola." Again, this is the dimensions that I mentioned before to the sides of the agola. Again, the agolas were lined up 2 by 2, so to the left of the leftmost agola, there was a space of 2.5, and to the right of the rightmost agola, there was a space of 2.5. So tzidi agola, kimlo rochav agola, the total tzidi agola on the left and on the right, ended up to be the width of the agola. Now, the width of the entire agola with the wheels, as I said, was 5, but the actual agola part was only 2.5 amos, because each wheel was 1.25 amos. So the wheels themselves took up 2.5 amos, and the gullah part, the wagon part itself, was 2.5. So each tzide, the left side beyond the wagon, was 2.5, which was equal to the wagon, and the right side was 2.5, which was equal to the wagon. That's what Rav is telling us over here. Tzide agola, kimlo rochav agola, the kama rochav agola, how's the actual width of the agola itself without the wheels? Shtei amos umetz. So there's only 2.5 amos. The wheels added another 1.25 amos of each wheel, which added up to another 2.5 amos to make the 5 amma width of the entire agola. Someone says, Lomeli, why do I need to have such a wide agola of 2.5 amma? But amma so palga sagi, it would have been adequate if it was only 1.5 amma. Now, where did they get this number 1.5? So Rashi explains, in case you wanted to put the board actually on the longitudinal axis of the agola rather than perpendicular to the agola. So that's why Rashi said they picked the number 1.5. The critical feature, however, here that they're asking is, why did you need 2.5 amas? Again, the wagon, the way it was aligned, it was perpendicular to the boards. Now, the boards are 10 amas. They're going to stretch over onto both sides of the agola, 5 amas to the left and 5 amas to the right. Now, that's from the middle of the agola. So it's really, you have 2.5 amas of the agola. Why do we need such a big agola? You could add 1.5 amas of the agola, and it would have been just as good. It would have accomplished the same thing in that situation. So the Gemara says, Ki hechi delo lidadu kiroshim, in order that the kiroshim over here shouldn't fall off. If it was only 1.5 amas of the agola, so it's going to be like a seesaw, and it could tilt off. When you have a base of 2.5, so the kiroshim of 10 amas on a base of 2.5, they're going to stay on and not going to fall off. Although we'll see, they had a person walking behind them to make sure in case they did fall off that they could be put back on. So when you have 2.5, that's considered wide enough that it's not going to routinely fall off. If it was only 1.5, it would be like a seesaw and it could easily tilt and fall off. So therefore, they made the width of the agola 2.5 amma. Fine, so that's that discussion. Now the Gemara asks one last question. We know that a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is normally defined by being 16 amma wide. Now, where did they get that from? Elo, the Kaimalon, Derech Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Sheshesrei Amma. Where do we find in the Midbar that there was a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim of 16 amma, Anan, the Gamrina Lami Mishkan? We learn all of these things after the Mishkan. Now, the Mishkan would be the wagons over here. The Mishkan, Chamesrei Havoi. The wagons, as we just said, where each wagon was 5 amma, and the space in between them was 5 amma, the crusher were on top of them. So therefore, that's only 15 amma. Where do we get that the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is 16 amma? So Gemara says, amma si yisei rabbi. There was an extra amma. What was that for? The Habakkuk ben Levi, one of the Levi'im, would be standing behind the wagons as they were going. And if he saw the key, mishtalfi kroshim, if the boards started to seem to titter-totter, so then, havanokitlu, he would quickly go into the space on the left of the wagon or to the right of the wagon, which was a half amma space on each side that he could walk over there. And this way, in case the board started to fall over from their position, he could go easily in there and hold them up and prevent them from falling. So therefore, you needed an extra half an amma space to the left of the wagon, and you needed a half an amma space to the right of the wagon. That's the extra 1 amma total, plus the 15 ammas of the two wagons and the space between them. That's where we get the source of 16 amma being the Rishus HaRabim. Now, this is the way Rashi understood this. Tosus has another way to understand this. You can see diagrams of Tosus in the Pirush Chai, Ayin Shom. Let's begin the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins and says, Chuyas HaBor. This is the heaped up part of the bor. When you have a hole in the ground, so the dirt can be heaped up around the bor. So this is called chulya sabor. Likewise, vehasela, or a stone, in the Rishos HaRabim. We're talking here now that this is going to be something that's not part of the Rishos HaRabim. Why? Shein gvoa nasora, because this chulya sabor or the sela are 10 tvachim tall. Again, it's asora, so it's masculine. It's going to be 10 tvachim tall. V'roch ben arba, and its width, it really means its length and its width, is 4 by 4. So you have a significant area here that's 4 by 4 tvachim with 10 tvachim height. So that's no longer called the Rishos HaRabim. That's now called a separate entity called Rishos HaYochid on the top. So, Hanotel Mehen Vanosin Al Gabon. If you were to take from the Rishos HaRabim and put it on them, or you would take from them and take it into the Rishos HaRabim, right? Hanotel Mehen, if you took something from the top of this Chuyos Habor or the Sela, and you put it into the Rishos HaRabim, or alternatively, Vanosin Al Gabon, you took something from the Rishos HaRabim and you put it on top of this Bor, Chuyos Habor, or the Sela, Chayiv, that would be an Issa Derais. If you did this by accident on the Shabbos, you have to bring a Chatas. However, Pachos Mikain, if it was smaller than the dimensions that we just said, so then it would be called the Mokum Ptur, and it would be Potur. You wouldn't be Chayiv over here for going and putting something on it, or taking something off it and putting it into Rishos HaRabim. So Gemara says, why did you have to tell me it would be a Lomeli Lemisnas Chulya Sabor, the heaped up side of the bor? You should have just said the bor itself. If you took from the bor itself, it's 10 tefachim deep, that would be a Rishos HaYochid. And you told me Vasela. Why didn't you tell me both Chulya Sabor and the Sela? Listen, now you should have just said Habor Vasela. And I would know, either going up 10 tefachim or going down 10 tefachim, that makes it into a separate Rishos. So why did you have to tell me Chulya Sabor? What was the point in that? If it's really just heaped up 10 tefachim, it's the same exact thing as Sela, why repeat it? Gemara says, Masaili Rav Yochanan. This goes in accord with the way Rav Yochanan explained our Mishnah. Gemara Rav Yochanan explained our Mishnah. He also explained the Gemara and Erivin in the same way. Bor the Chulyosa mitzdar fin yasora. When we say that 10 tefachim is a separate Rishos, so it can be a combination of 5 tefachim deep and 5 tefachim heaped up. And that also makes 10 tefachim. When you look at it from the Rishos HaRabim, there's a mechitza of 10 tefachim. 5 of it is heaped up. So if you look at it flat from the Rishos HaRabim, it's only 5 tefachim. But then you go down 5 tefachim as well. So the bor, the chuyasa, mitzdarfin, they can combine to make the 10 tefach shir, liasara. That's what Rav Yochanan is telling us. And in fact, the Brisa says the same thing, Taninami Hochi, bor, Rishos HaRabim. If you have a pit in the Rishos HaRabim, and that pit is amuka yud, it's deep 10 tefachim, so it becomes a separate Rishos, viroch v'arba, and it's 4 by 4 tefachim, so it's a separate Rishos in its entirety. Ein memalim imenim Shabbos. You're not allowed to go take water from this bor and take it out from this pit on Shabbos and bring it outside the bor, because that will be taken from the Rishos HaYochid, the bor, and bringing it into Rishos HaRabim. Turn to Yom Beis. Unless, you're not allowed to do this, unless, elam kein osilo mechitza, gevo yud tvachim. Unless you make a mechitza around this bar. Once you make a mechitza that's 10 tvachim tall around the bar, you basically created a Rishos HaYochid around the bar, and then you can take all the water you want from this bar and drink it within this mechitza that you made, a 10 tvachim wall around this bar. Tosus points out that for here, for a bar, a private pit, you can't do what's known as the pase biroyim. We've had previously that if you have a public bar, or if you have a private or a public be'er, that's actual well, not just a pit, so then these can be enclosed without having to make a full mechitz around them. You can just put in each corner a double board at right angles that's a tefach by a tefach, and that will make the pase biroyim. So that would be fine. But here, he brings out from Rav Poritz that that's not good for a bor of the yochid. In any event, from this bor of the yochid, you have to have a full mechitz around it. Likewise, if you don't have that and you want to drink from this well, vein shosene mena, you're not allowed to drink from this well b'Shabbos, unless Elohim kein hichnis lo rosho verubo, unless you put your head and most of your body over the surface of the well and you drink right there. And in this way, you're not removing the water from the Rishos HaYochid into a different Rishos, into the Rishos HaRabim around you, because you're keeping the water, most of your body is in there, so therefore you're considering the Rishos HaYochid as well. Then he tells us in this braisa, ubar v'chuyasa mitzdarfin liyasara. Oh, then it tells us the din the Rav Yochanan had mentioned. Now we have a braisa in support of it. The braisa says that in order to make this 10 depth over here, 10 tefach depth of the bar, you can combine the depth of the bar with the height of the heap. So as long as there's a total of 10 from the bottom of the bar to the top of the heap, you're okay. Now the Gemara says, Boy, me Rav Mordechai, me Rava is the girsa that we have. On the side, he says it should be me Rava. Rav Mordechai asked the following shalat from Rava or Rabba. He says, you have Amud b'Rishus HaRabim. You have a post in the Rishus HaRabim. Gavoa Yud, it's more than 10 Tefachim tall, meaning it's no longer in the Rishus HaRabim on the top. V'rachav Dalit, and it's 4x4 wide on the top. So that makes the top a Rishus HaYochid. Now, you take a ball, or you take something, v'zorak v'nochach v'noch al gabov. You take a ball, and you throw it up, and it lands on the top of this post in the Rishus HaRabim that has the status of being Rishus HaYochid. So in other words, you're throwing something from the Rishus HaRabim and landing it on a Rishus HaYochid. Mahu. So Rav Mordechai asks, what is the halacha? Is that called an akira and a hanocha? Because you took it from the Rishus HaRabim and it landed in the Rishus HaYochid? Mi aminon, hari akira be'isser, hari hanocha be'isser. Your akira in the Rishus HaRabim, you picked up the ball in the Rishus HaRabim and you tossed it up on to the top of this post and it stayed there. So therefore, that's a hanocha in the Rishus HaYochid, and therefore it's an akira be'isser, hanocha be'isser, and therefore you're chayev. Or Dilma, or do we say no? How did the ball get up there? How did the item get up there? You tossed it, and it went over the 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim, and then it went on to the top of the Rishus HaYochid. So therefore, it went from the Rishus HaRabim into the area above the Rishus HaRabim, which is a Makom Ptur, and only subsequently landed on top of the post, which is the Rishus HaYochid. So do we say, Odilmah, Kiva Dibimakum Ptur Ka'asya, it had to go from the Rishus HaRabim through a Makum Ptur before it landed on the Rishus HaYochid? That's not called a valid Akira and Hanacha. It was interrupted by the Makum Ptur, and therefore it may be Potter, Issa de Rabbanon, but it's not going to be a Chayiv Chatas, Issa de Raisa. That was the question that Rav Mordechai asked to either Rava or Rabba. Amalei, so Rava or Rabba responded, and he said, Masnisani, this is our Mishnah. And our Mishnah says that you're Chayiv. Rav Mordechai wasn't happy. Also, Shaila Rav Yosef. He asked Rav Yosef the same question. And Rav Yosef responded to him, Omalei, Masnisani, it's our Mishnah, Yechai V'chatas. He still wasn't happy. Also, Shaila Abaye. He went to go ask Abaye. Abaye answered him, Omalei, Masnisani, it's our Mishnah, and it's also Yechai V'chatas. Rav Mordechai tells all of them, Omalehu, he says, all three of you, Rabbo, Rava, Rav Yosef, and Abaye, Kulchu Biroka Dehadode Tafisu. You're all spitting out over here, literally. The spittle that you have is all the same. Rashi says, Kulchem Rokechod Atem Rokikim. You're all spitting the same spittle. In other words, you're all saying the same thing, and I disagree with you. So Amulei, so these three Amarayim, the Rabbo Rava, Rav Yosef, and Abaye, they said to them back, Va'atlo Tizbra, you don't read our Mishnah that way? What's not clear about our Mishnah? What's not? Our Mishnah said, Hanol tell mehem, if you will go and taking over here from this rock or this Chuyas Abar, or Vehanosein, that's the gears of the Bach, Vehanosein al Gabin, or if you put something on top of them, Yechayev. Now, you have to go and put it, that since the rock or the Chuyas Habor is more than 10 Tefachim, you took it from the Rishus HaRabim, and you went above the 10 Tefach mark, and then you put it on top of the Rishus HaYochid. So you went through the Makom Ptur, and our Mishnah says, that's irrelevant. You did a valid Akira, a valid Hanacha, therefore you're over in Issa Deraisa, in Yechai V'chata. So what's your problem, Reb Mordechai? So so he tells back to these three Amorayim, no, maybe he didn't go through the Makom Ptur in our Mishnah. Dilma masnisin b'machat. You know what? Our Mishnah is talking about a machat, which is very, very tiny. Rashi says, de'eino gavoa, and therefore he went straight from the Rishus HaRabim and he laid on top of the Rishus HaYochid at exactly 10 tefachim, and he never was above the 10 tefach spot in the Makom Ptur. Where it says, okay, even if you want to tell me that the machat is very small, it still takes up sun space. Machat nami. Yevsho delo midlaya purta. It can't be that you didn't lift it up a little bit. Okay, so it's a 0.1. So you went 10.1. So you were above the Rishus HaRabim, 0.1. But that counts. And therefore, it went through a Makom Ptur. And yet, our Mishnah says, Yechayev. So what's your problem with Mordechai? Someone says, no, maybe you didn't go above it, he says. He says, two possible terusim. This lay morsha. What's morsha? Morsha is like a pustule. It's like something that is a little bit of a projection. So therefore, maybe this projection, Rashi says, is actually below 10 tefachim. You know what happened over here? Rashi says, Dibra maslu de islay. Lasella, this rock that you have has a morosha, has a little bit of a protrusion. Namuch miyud. That's less than 10 tefachim. However, it's subordinate to the rest of the post that's above 10 tefachim. The kivin de kula gavoa yud bar meyahi morsha. Since the entire sela is more than 10 tefachim, except this little projection that's a little bit under 10 tefachim, and that's where you put the item on. V'yu lo havi mokum choshev. It's not considered a separate entity by itself, and it's considered heavy lechori rishus hayochid. It's like the holes of rishus hayochid, which we previously have learned are the status of rishus hayochid. So even though it's below 10 tfachim, therefore you never went through the makom ptur, it's still considered like a rishus hayochid. So that's teretz number one, that maybe it had a marsha over here. Teretz number two, he says, inami deramya b'charitza. You know what? There was a little bit of a groove over here, and he pushed it through the groove, and through that groove it went up to land on top of the Rishos HaYochid. So it never really was in the Makom Petur. And therefore, Rav Mordechai says, I could figure out a case of our Mishnah that doesn't show that it went through a Makom Petur. Therefore, my question, if you go through a Makom Petur, is that going to make it Potter, or is it not going to make it Potter, is a valid question. Gemara continues, gives another case. Rav Mayasha says, by Rav Yochanan asks the following shaila. Kosel Rishus HaRabim. You have a wall in the Rishus HaRabim. Now, the wall itself is not a separate entity. This wall is Gavoa Asara. It is 10 Tfachim tall, so it's a good Mechitza from the height point of view. However, they know Rochav. Now, the Girsa that we have is Arba. But Arba would be a feminine word, and feminine would mean that it was be talking about Amos, but it's not talking about Amos, so this should actually be over here Arba'ah, and some of the Mefarshim changes to Arba'ah, which means Tvachim. So you have this wall, which the top of the wall is more than 10 Tvachim above the ground, so it's no longer in the Shus HaRabim, but it's not wide enough. It's not 4 by 4 Tvachim, it's not Arba'ah by Arba'ah Tvachim, and therefore it's not considered a Rishus HaYochid. So it would be a Makom Petur, and if you were to go put something on top of this wall, you would not be chayav from the Shus HaRabim to putting on top of this wall. However, this wall is umukof lekarmelis. It is surrounding a karmelis. Rashi says, "Bekotel zeh hikifu bika." This wall is surrounding a bika, a valley of some sort that has the status of a karmelis. Al yado nasis rishus hayochid. By making this wall here, you've now made this karmelis into rishus hayochid. How did you do that? Could go and shukof ledira. You have a house over here, so this enclosed area now is subordinate to the house. So therefore, this wall around it makes it into rishus hayochid. Or alternatively, it wasn't so big. It's less than base society. It's less than 2,500 amma locations. In other words, it's less than a 5,000 amma square area. So therefore, that can also be enclosed a karmelis to make it into Rishus HaYochid. So what do you have over here? You have this wall. It's not in and of itself a Rishus HaYochid, but it made the area that encloses into Rishus HaYochid. Umufak l'karmelis v'aso Rishus HaYochid. So Rav Yochanan was asking, what happens in this situation? Now, Rezorak v'nocha gaba. Now you threw something from the Shus HaRabim and it landed on the top of this wall over here. If you just looked at the size of the wall, we said it was a Makom Petur. But now it functions as making the karmelis that it's enclosing Rishus HaYochid. So, Mahu. Rav Yochanan asks, what's the halacha here? Do we say, mi amrinon kivan de'eno roch of Arba'ah? Again, it should be Arba'ah over here. Since the top is not four tvachim by four tvachim, so Makom Peturu, this has the status of being a Makom Petur, and you would not be chayiv. You're actually l'chatchil allowed to bring from the Shus HaRabim and put it on top of the Makom Petur, and therefore, that's what the status of this wall is. Or do we say, no, oh Dilma, kivan da'aso Rishus HaYochid. It's able to make the entire area that's enclosing into Rishus HaYochid. So it makes that into Rishus HaYochid. Keman demole damya. So we view the top of the wall also as being a Rishus HaYochid because it enclosed the huge karmelis over here, so it also can enclose itself, so to say, and therefore the top of the wall, even though in and of itself it's not 4 by 4 tvachim, but it's becoming significant because it enclosed the karmelis. Mahu. That's Rav Yochanan's question. So Amar Ula, and we'll see as well, other Amarayim also agree with this. Amar Ula, Kal V'Chomer, this is a Kal V'Chomer, that it is considered Rishus HaYochid. La'achayrim osa mechitza, it's able to make a mechitza for the entire area of the karmelis that it enclosed. Li'asim lo koshake, so it doesn't make itself into Rishus HaYochid, so it makes everything else Rishus HaYochid, it certainly makes itself Rishus HaYochid as well. And it, Manami, the same thing was said, Amar Rechia Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Rechia Bar Ashi, the name of Rav, others say, V'chein Amar Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yochanan, also Rav Yitzchak saying Rav Yochanan, so Rav and Rav Yochanan also agree with the statement of Ula that Kosel B'Shus HaRabim Gavo Asor Aveinu Roch of Arba'ah should again be Arba'ah. Find many times we have mistakes like this, both in the Mishnah Berurah and in the Gemaras and in other Rishonim. They weren't medactic on this, but we have to be medactic on it because we have to make sure that we know they're not talking about four amos, we're talking about four tvachim. That's why it's very important that we have the right dictuk over here. In any event, he said, they both said the same thing. Rav and Rav Yochanan both said the same thing, that if the wall is 10 tvachim tall, but it's not 4 by 4, so in and of itself it would be a malkum tor. But if it's mukaf lekarmelis, so Rishus HaYachid, our case, that it surrounds the karmelis, and it made the karmelis into Rishus HaYachid, so Hazorik v'noch HaGabu Chayev, so they both said beferish that if you throw something on top of it, you are going to be chayev. Why? Because Lachem Rosh Mechitza was able to make everything else into Rishus HaYachid, Latzman Lokosha came, the same Kavu Chomer, so certainly it makes itself into Rishus HaYachid as well. Another question that Rav Yochanan asked. Boy, Rav Yochanan, another question. Bor Tisha. You have a pit over here that is 9 tvachim deep, and it's wide enough. It's 4 by 4 tvachim wide. And now, what do? You dig out the bottom tefach. So when you dig out the bottom tefach, it now has a depth of 10 tvachim. It's a separate Rishus HaYochid. Now, what do you do with this dirt? So, v'hishlim oliasara. You dug out, so now you have 10 tvachim here, but this dirt, when you take it outside, mahu. Do we say akiras chefetz vasiyas mechitza b'hadi adodi ka'asu o mechayev o lo mechayev? Do we say that this comes all together, and therefore, when you dig it out to now make it into Rishus HaYochid, and you take out the dirt at the same time, so you simultaneously made it into Rishus HaYochid and took out the dirt, so you're chayev? Or do we say, no, when you took it out, it wasn't Rishus HaYochid, it was a Malkum Tor. And therefore, even though now it's a Rishus HaYochid, when you took it out, it wasn't yet a Rishus HaYochid, and you're not chayev. That's the question that Rav Yochanan asked. Now, the in Tim Silomer, even if you want to say, Kim the Lavi Mechitza Asara Meikara, even if you want to say in my case over here, no, it's not going to be carrying because at the time that you took out the dirt, it didn't have 10 tvachim. So we don't say that they occur simultaneously, that you made it into a Rishus HaYochid and you did the taking out of the dirt. So even if you want to say Lo Mechayiv in that situation, what about the following case? Bor Asara, it already starts off with being 10. And now, if I put something in it from the Rishus HaRabim, I would be taking something from the Rishus HaRabim and putting it into the Rishus HaYachid. So I have a bar that's already Asara. What do? I put in dirt into it. I put in some dirt into it. Now, it only has a depth of 9 tvachim. So, umiyata, I made it that it's not 10 tvachim anymore. So what's the halacha here? Mao? Do we say, hanochas chayfetz, when I put in the dirt, so I'm carrying from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid? So the question of Yochanan is, do we say over here that the Hanochas Chayfetz is Siluk Mechitza Ba'adei Dodi Ka'asu U'mechayav? Do we say that they both occur simultaneously? So when I put it in over there, I'm putting in dirt into a Rishus HaYochid from the Rishus HaRabim. The fact that it's now becoming smaller than a Rishus HaYochid is irrelevant. That already occurred, and I'm Chayav. Or do we say, no, Olo Mechayav, I'm not Chayav, because at the moment that I put it in there, it didn't become a Rishus HaYochid anymore. It now is a Malkum Patur, and therefore I'm not Chayav. So the Gemara asks, Tifshot le midi day. Rav Yochanan himself seemed to have asked and answered this question elsewhere. So learn it out from his own Shita. Where is that? If not, we have a Mishnah. We're going to learn tomorrow, Mitz Hashem. The Mishnah says, Hazorik arba amos bakosel. If you throw, and we will see, Rav Yochanan says, we're talking here about throwing this shmeina dvela, this sticky type of a fig. Right now we don't know that, but Rav Yochanan is going to tell us that in a second. If you throw this arba amos bakosel, I'm standing 4 amos away from the kosel, and I throw this sticky fig onto the kosel. So if it lands lamala me'asar tvachim, if it's above 10 tvachim, and it sticks there, kizorik babi, that's no different than if I just throw something in the air, above 10 tvachim, and I'm not chayev. But lamata me'asar, if it's below 10 tvachim, and it sticks to the wall, kizorik baritz, it's as if I threw it on the ground, or rolled it on the ground, and it went dalet amos, and therefore I would be chayev. Vazorik baritz, arba amos chayev. That's havara. Now the Mishnah says, but we ask over there, it didn't actually land this sticky item. We don't know yet it's a sticky item. It didn't land. It hit the wall. We assume it bounced back. So why are you chayev? Amar Yochanan. Yochanan says, we're talking about a sticky fig over here, and it sticks to the wall, and that's why it went dalet amos and you chayev. But here now, Rav Yochanan l'shitase. Rav Yochanan says over here that it doesn't consider that it's less than dalet amos, because it hits the wall, and we consider it subordinate to the wall. V'amai, ha'kom v'mayit me'arba amos. If we're looking at it from a pure point of view, he threw it exactly, it was 4 amos away, so it now sticks to the wall, but it's coming out of the wall a little bit, so it's only 3.9 amos. And therefore, if you don't say that it's subordinate to the wall, so then You haven't thrown it down with Amos. Oh, so obviously, Rav Yochanan says it's considered subordinate to the wall. So too, in our case of the dirt, let's learn from Rav Yochanan. Tivshot le midi day. The Rav Yochanan say in the case of the dirt, it's now the dirt is going into the pit, and therefore, just like your chayev over here with throwing the devela, you're going to be chayev in the case of the dirt as well. Oh, asked and answered. Rav Yochanan can answer his own question from his own shita. Gemara says, not necessarily. In the case of the fig, he's going to take the fig off the wall. That's the simple way to understand it. This is the way Rashi learns it. Tosis has a different way to understand it. But the simple way is that it's sticking to the wall, but you're going to take it off the wall. It's not going to stay there forever. Therefore, it's not mevatale to the wall. And that's why you're chayiv in that situation. But when you're throwing the dirt into the pit, you're not expecting to take that dirt out of the pit. That's stuck there forever. So therefore, you could say that it's mevatale, and maybe you wouldn't be chayiv. So therefore, we can't bring an answer to Rav Yochanan from his own shita. Gemara continues and says, "Boy, Rava asks the following situation: Zorak daf, you're throwing a board, v'noch al gabe yisedos, and this board lands on top of pegs. So you're in the Rishus HaRabim, and you're throwing it on top of pegs over here in the Rishus HaRabim, and the pegs themselves are less than dalat tochem by dalat tochem, so they're not a separate Rishus. So therefore, the board lands on them. So the board is now going to be like a roof over here, or a place that is a separate Rishus, because that board is 4x4 Tvachim, and now these pegs, which are 10 Tvachim tall, so when the board lands on it, the board is making itself into Rishus HaYachid, Mahu. So again, similar to what we just asked, you're creating the Rishus HaYachid at the same time that you're throwing this board in the Rishus HaRabim on to the pegs. So is that considered over here that you're throwing something from a Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid? So Gemara says, "My koma boile, what exactly is Rava asking?" It sounds like it's the same exact question as Rav Yochanan. Hanochas chepetz vasiyas mechitza b'hadei adadli kasu. He's asking the same thing, that when you're putting the dirt into the hole, it's simultaneously making the hole smaller. Or when you took the dirt out of the hole, it's simultaneously making the hole deeper. So that was Rav Yochanan's question. So is he asking over here the same question? Hanochas chepetz vasiyas mechitza b'hadei adadli kasu. Hainu the Rav Yochanan. That's Rav Yochanan's question. So is he making the Rishus HaYochanan at the same time that he threw it, and therefore they can come together and he's chayev or not? That's Rav Yochanan's question. So the Gemara says, no, it's not exactly the same question. Ki koma boyele l'rova, what Rava was really asking was the following. Kigom de zorak daf v'chevetz agabal. You're throwing the board, but he wasn't asking a question about the board. There's something on top of the board. He has a box on top of the board, and he tosses the board with the box on top of it onto these pegs. My. His question isn't about the board. His question is about the box on top of the board. Do we say kivan de bahad de hadad de katsu, that they both landed simultaneously, so the box and the board landed on top of these pegs simultaneously, and therefore, so then that's exactly Rav Yochanan's question. Do we say that you can occur simultaneously, and would you be chayiv or not? That's Rav Yochanan's question. Or alternatively, no. Here's a different formulation. O Dilma, maybe. Kivan de lo efshor de lo midla purta, since the board lands and the box on top of it lands a second later. They don't exactly land simultaneously. So in regards to the board, that's Rav Yochanan's question. But in regards to the box on top of the board, no. Maybe we say that the Rishus HaYochanan has already created a split second earlier with the board landing on top of the pegs. And now when the box lands on top of the board, it's already landing on an existing Rishus HaYochanan. And therefore, Kasiyas Mechitza, it's as if you made the Mechitza first, and then subsequently, Anocha Shepetz Domi. Now, Anocha comes afterwards. That's Rava's real question. And this is where answers with Teiko. We don't come to a conclusion. No answers given. Similarly, we have Rava asking a similar type of question in the following scenario. Omer Rava. Rava says, Pshitali. Often we start off when we say we want to set the facts up. So he says, Pshitali. This first case is clear to me that this is the halacha. Mayim al gabi mayim hainu hanochoson. If you remove water, Rashi says, im notal miktsoson, if you take some water off of a body of water, v'hotzi, and you take it from that body of water into another rishos, hava akira. That's considered a valid akira. In other words, we don't say that the top water is moving on the bottom water, and therefore it's not considered a valid akira. We say, no, the whole thing is considered resting on the bottom of this body of water. It's on the ground underneath the water, and therefore it's considered, when you do this, as an akira. Even though you didn't take the water from the ground, you took the water from on top of other water, all the water is considered one block. That, Rava says, is pshita, and therefore if you do an akira from water, even though you're not taking the water from the very bottom that's resting on the bottom of the ground, but you're taking the water from the top, nevertheless, that's called a valid akira. Pasha, that's clear. But what about the following says? egos agabe mayim. If you have a walnut that is on top of the water and you take the walnut off the water, is that considered a valid akira? That's the question. Lav hainu hanachasa. So he says, no, that's not considered. Egos agabe mayim is not considered a valid akira because the water is moving. As Rashi says, that's not a valid akira. Akira has to be from a set place. It can't be from something that's moving. So Rava set up the cases. These two are partial for me. The water from the water is definitely an akira, and the walnut from the water is definitely not an akira. So boy, Rava, now he asks his question. Egos b'kli, b'kli tzof al gabi mayim. You have the egos on a kli. The walnut is on some sort of a coaster, and that coaster is floating on the water. B'kli tzof al gabi mayim. How do we view this? Will be a mahu. Do we say, mi amrinon basar egos azlinon, that you look at it from the point of view of the walnut, and the walnut is resting on the kli. Therefore, this is a valid akira. If you took this walnut, you took it from a resting coaster, and when you take it from this body of water, let's say it's a Rishus HaYachin, you bring it to Rishus HaRabim, you're chayiv. Or alternatively, do we say, Odilma, basar kli azlinon? We look at it from the point of view of the kli. The coaster is like the walnut in the water. The coaster is floating on the water. The water is considered not a valid akira when you take it from it. When you take a kli from the water, it's not. So the walnut is no different than the kli in this situation. Odilma, basar kli azlinon, v'halo nayich, and it doesn't actually considered that it was resting, and therefore you didn't do a valid akira from a resting place. That's Rava's question. We leave that with a taker as well. Finally, one more case. You have shemen. Rashi points out the shemen and the wine that we're going to be talking about are of truma, because we're going to be dealing over here with a tul yom that touches it. And tul yom is only going to be posel. Remember, we talked previously that a person who is a sheni, such as a tul yom, when he touches something like truma, he makes it into a shlishi, but it can't become a revi afterwards, so that's called posel. If you're matame, it makes it tame, but it can go a step further. So a rishon is matame a sheni, because the sheni then can be matame shlishi by truma. But if you're a sheni and you're metame a shlishi, we don't use the terminology metame, we use the terminology posel, because it makes it tame, but it doesn't allow the transmission further. So now that we set up the case, shemen, you have shemen of truma that's floating agaba yayin. Oil is going to float on top of the water, on top of the wine. So you have shemen agaba yayin. The yayin will go to the bottom and the shemen will stay on the top. Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Rabbanan. Here we enter into machlokes. If a tful yom touches this, is he metame both of them, or is he only metame the top layer? In other words, is this considered one entity or two entities? And this is a Mishnah in Erevin. Ditnan, shemen shetzof al gabi yayin. You have truma shemen that's floating on top of wine, truma wine. The noga tfuyom b'shemen, and the tfuyom only touched the shemen. So he's definitely posel the shemen. So the Mishnah says, the Tanakama's opinion is, lo posel Ella Shemen. The Tanakhama says he was only posel the Shemen because the wine is a separate entity and the wine would be a Revi. And the Tvul Yom can only make the Shemen into a Shlishi. It's posel it, but it's not Matame further. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Shneim Chibur Ze Lezeh. He considers it one entity. So if the Tvul Yom touches the Shemen, it's like he touched the wine at the same time. And therefore, it's all going to become Tamei. And therefore, this is exactly analogous to what we just said. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he says that the two are considered like one entity. So the egos on the kli is one entity, and it wouldn't be considered a valid akira. And the opinion of the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, is no, it's two separate entities. So therefore, the egos on top of the kli is considered a separate entity, and it's a valid akira. With this, we conclude today's shir.